Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, Text Number 3. Yesterday was Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada? Okay. I wonder if this is Chintamani. Bibhaminaham nirayat padachuto. Na pashabandad. Vyasanad duratyayat. Naivarta kritshad bhavaton vinigrahat. Asaduvadat brisham udvijayata. Bibhemi, I do fear. Na, not. Aham, I. Nirayat, from a position in hell. Parachuta, nor do I fear being deprived of my position. Na, nor. Pashabandat, from being arrested by the ropes of Aruna. Vyasanat, nor from the distress. Duratyaya, which was unbearable for me. Na, nor. Eva, certainly. Artakrit Shrut, because of poverty or scarcity of money. Bhavataha, of your lordship. Vinigrahat, from the punishment I am now suffering. Asaruvadat, from deformation. Brisham, very much. Udvijay, I become anxious. Yata, as. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I do not fear being deprived of all my possessions, living in hellish life, being arrested for poverty by the ropes of Varuna, or being punished by you as much as I fear defamation. Purport. Although Bali Maharaj fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not tolerate being defamed for cheating a Brahmana Brahmachari. Being quite alert in regard to his reputation, he thought deeply about how to prevent being defamed. The Lord therefore gave him good counsel to prevent defamation by offering his head. A Vaishnava does not fear any punishment. Narayana para sarve na kutaras bibhyati. Text 4. Although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as the most exalted. Purport. Punishment meted out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted by the devotee as the greatest mercy. Tate nukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam Ridvag vapubir vidadan namaste jivetiyo bhukti mukte prade sadayabhak. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances to you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. Bhagavatam 10.14.8. Devotee knows that so-called punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. Therefore, the punishment awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared to even the greatest benefit awarded by one's material father, mother, brother, or friend. Here it mentions about punishment and how punishment is given to the soul by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the soul's benefit. Now, we have to think back, what did I do wrong? So that Krishna, what is Krishna trying to correct? If we go back in history, in our time machine, then we come to the demigods fighting against the demons on the ocean of milk. Perhaps you can remember. And many personalities in that fight were killed. And they, some of them took birth on this planet. Especially some of the demons, it says they took birth on this planet as brahmanas. And one of those brahmanas was Sringi. But before that, we can go back a little bit. And Bhumi, with tears in her eyes, approached Brahma. There's a time and place to complain. So she was complaining that the whole world was full of demoniac kings. Of course, everyone thought their king was a good king and everyone else's king was demoniac, but Bhumi thought all the kings practically are demoniac. And of course, Krishna came and he killed a lot of demons. I mean, a whole lot of demons. It would be a scandal nowadays. And he established a little kingdom. He, first of all, killed his uncle. Well, he was in Vrindavan. He killed a lot of the demons. The big demons. But there were a lot of demons left. Mostly he was killing the ministers of Kamsa. Putana, Agasura, Vatsasura, Trinivarta, Aristasura, they were all part of the council for Kamsa. They were part of a committee. They were the GPC. And they were killed one after another by Krishna. And then finally Krishna came and killed the chairman, Kamsa. Now he established a little kingdom in Mathura, and some of the personalities who were formerly fled from Kamsa, they came back. Ugrasena came back, and they had the kingdom of Mathura, and then Krishna, of course, eventually went to Dwarka. But even when Krishna was in Dwarka, and there was some kingdom in Vrindavan, of course, and in Mathura, still, the major rulers of the world were Dhritarashtra. He was the emperor. So it wasn't until much later that there was the Battle of Kurukshetra and the Pandavas ruled the world temporarily for a generation. And then Pariksha Maharaj, after Janmanjaya, was the emperor. Then Pariksha Maharaj took his birth and became the emperor. More or less, Kali was driven back by Pariksha Maharaj, although it was the beginning of Kali Yuga. He could only live where their gold was and sinful activities. So he was subdued, but then he had his agent, a Brahmin boy, who was killed fighting on during the battle between the demigods and the demons on the shore of the ocean milk, took birth as a Brahmin, as Sringhi, and the plan of the demons, the universal demons, the big, really big demons. Now we have little demons, but they're all kind of subordinate demons. The plan of the big demons was first of all to try to get Duryodhana to take over the world, to install a demoniac civilization devoid of God consciousness. And then the next one was Sringhi. He was the agent to curse Pariksha Maharaj so that the world would be devoid of a pious king. And therefore Kali could begin his business of killing animals, especially the cow and the bull. So as I said before, once you kill the cow and bull, and we can, you know, animals in general, the horses, as Divya Prabhanaprabhu, who is the regional secretary or the head of the National Council in Croatia, said, because he has a farm, that even in Croatia there are no more oxen. I guess they ate them all. And there's no more horses. They probably ate them also. There may be some show horses, but there's no more working horses. You ever see a working horse around anymore? No, there's no more working horses. So basically speaking, once they eliminated the cow and the bull, then they needed technology, and technology introduced industrialization. Industrialization introduced technology. Technology introduced control, more and more control over anyone who might become God conscious. The real purpose of technology by the demon side, the asuras, is to exert total control. That's why everyone came here, by the way, including ourselves, although we're trying to become devotees. We came here to take control. Now we can't take control of the world, then we settle for a little bit less. Maybe a country, if we can't do that. Maybe a city, if we can't do that. Maybe a house. Maybe if we can't do that, we get a dog. Take control. We can't do that, then the goldfish is the final resort. Look, you don't smile, you don't get any pellets. Bow down, fishy. So everyone has, anyone who's taken birth in this mature world has that desire to control others, whether so-called for their benefit, but ultimately the ultimate benefit is for ourselves. That's called material consciousness. It's either for Krishna or it's for Maya. And of course we're trying to do, at least, even mechanically, we're trying to do it for Krishna, at least even if it's, we think, well, I'm not really sincere, but all right, I'll say I'm doing it for Krishna. Even if we think like that, it's better than think, well, I want to be sincere. I want it for me, just me. It's me. Let me be honest. I hate you. I love me. Just coming clean. Oh, you're so honest, Prabhu. Let me tell you what I think about you. From my heart. Supposed to reveal my heart and confidence. Well, I'm going to reveal on the internet. I got a lot of friends out there in confidence. So technology was introduced, first industrialization and then technology in order to substitute for the cow or whatever, the bull and the horse. Of course, the cow gives milk. People become allergic to milk because the demons, they only like the taste of blood. And therefore, the more you drink the blood, the more you become averse to milk. And therefore, it's a substitute for the cow, the bull, or the horse, whatever else. Then they had to get industrialization for the tractor. And then you needed technology because you had to, you know, the resources were running out. Therefore, you had to dig deeper into the earth by technology in order to extract more of the means of running these tractors. Of course, they can run it on water, but that would not be fair because then everyone could do it. So you have to control some kind of resource so that you yourself can control that resource and make it more and more scarce so that only you control it. And in the meantime, the people who are controlling all this money that they manufactured out of nothing, they put everyone in control of everything. They put their men in control. They become part of the club. All the heads of the countries, practically speaking, that make any difference in the world, all their ministers, all the judges, the heads of their armed forces, they all are paid off or bribed or they're blackmailed. That's the favorite thing, is blackmail. Easy to blackmail people in Kali Yuga. Just give them some money and take a picture of it or a movie of it, or give them some ladies and take a picture of the whole thing, and then you blackmail them. And then, if not, or more abominable things than that, You just blackmail, and therefore everyone's under control. And if they don't go along, if they're not blackmailed, then anyhow, they're eliminated. There's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say. So, but what we see in the present day is that we think some people are heroes, some people are actually trying to make things better, and some people seem to be asuras. But actually, they're all asuras. None of them are chanting Hare Krishna. None of them are following the regular principles. None of them have any idea, you know, what actually, well, they do have an idea what they're doing. They're trying to, they're part of a club, and they think they're the elite, and they're going to load it over the world and exploit it for their sense gratification to the maximum. And lo and behold, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, introducing the Sankirtan movement. What is the Sankirtan movement? More than just chanting the holy name, it's a philosophy which is service to Krishna. Otherwise, the holy names have no effect, really, unless they're service to Krishna. So the Siddhanta of service to Krishna and chanting the holy names is introduced as an alternative for either being a head demon or a little demon. Because the little demons don't like the big demons because we're all demons. That's what a demon is. They don't like it. The only one they really like is their false ego, and everyone else they dislike, or they're envious of, we could say. So the alternative was introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and yet, even the devotees, because we've been trained up since our birth, we're not quite sure what we are. Am I a devotee or am I a demon? Depends on the time of the day. Just like when Kamsa was reigning over Mathura, which means, practically speaking, he was controlling most of the world, because it explains his friends were Jarasandha, this Murari, the demon Murari, and others who were more or less controlling most of the world. Now, when Kamsa took over Mathura and kicked out his father, Ugrasena, by the way, Kamsa was not really Ugrasena's son, but if you didn't know that. Did you know that? Kamsa wasn't really Ugrasena's son? Lilita Govinda, did you know that? There was a rumor. Yeah, Kamsa's wife had gone off somewhere. Oh, not Kamsa's wife. Ugrasena's wife had gone off somewhere. Visiting her relatives, we could say. And during that time, Kamsa's father, I forget the name of the demon, he became attracted to her. So he took the form of Kamsa, seduced her, and as a result, Kamsa was born. So Ugrasena did not give birth to Kamsa. And anyway, Kamsa was ruling over the world. And when he was ruling over the world, some devotees got his association. As it says, many devotees went to Kamsa and asked him to give up his heinous crime of killing his own children, stepchildren, or the children of his sister. But due to Kamsa's association, they also became devotees of Kamsa. And therefore we find Satyadanya, who was a devotee, Kritavarma, who was a devotee of Krishna, got influenced by Kamsa due to his association, and he wound up participating in the stealing of the Shaimantaka jewel and the death of Shatodanya, Krishna's father-in-law. Actually, no, that was the one who killed Krishna's father-in-law, Satrajit. So it's complicated. We think, well, I'm a devotee. Well, good luck. We're aspiring to become devotees. We think, well, I can just have any association, everything is be all right. And the main association is hearing. And we've heard so much since we were born. As soon as we're born, our parents go, I don't remember either. Goo, 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 you are that body, you are that body. Ooh, how cute you are, you're so cute. Everyone goes, isn't he cute? Yeah, he's cute. All right. Another like on Facebook. You're the center of the universe. Everyone loves you. Just smile. Ah, you've conquered the world. So we've been taught up, you are that body, and just, you know, the whole aim of life is to get some likes. That's all. And so we've been growing up. That's what they teach us in school. Or as I said, the golden rule, because you probably never heard of the golden rules in the Bible. It's supposed to be to learn to love the Lord, the God, with all. But actually, the golden rule is, he who has gold, he rules. So that's been come the motto of more or less, that's how we've been trained up. And then introducing Krishna consciousness, and there is a fight. Most people don't have a fight. Their only fight is brand X beer or brand Y beer. That's their fight within their mind. But there's a fight for the devotees, therefore they seem conflicted. Should I become a devotee or should I remain a demon? Therefore, Krishna, we have to face the reactions for our previous association with the demons. If we were born like Shukadeva Goswami, as pure devotees, then we wouldn't have had such bad association. And therefore, because of our birth was not pure, therefore we had to get so much bad association. And that all resides within our heart and our minds. And therefore, Krishna is giving us reactions, whether it, you know, whatever it is, although we're struggling to become devotees, but part of the mercy is to make it clear that being a demon is not a good idea. And when the problems arise and we take shelter of our previous bad association, then we suffer even more. And then when the problems arise, we take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna appears within our heart and purifies us, and therefore we realize there is no real problem except for the fact that I'm not taking shelter of Krishna. So that will go on for some time until our movement actually becomes aligned with Krishna and therefore is able to dispel the demoniac consciousness within the world. Like Krishna came, Parikshama, and he got rid of so many demons. He established the Pandavas eventually after the battlefield of Kurukshetra as the rulers of the kingdom for some time. And then, of course, things went down. So this sometime is supposed to be 10,000 years. But we'll only understand we're actually being effective when we take over the world, when Krishna consciousness actually rules the world, when people understand the value of cow protection, when this industrialization of technology, which served its purpose with Srila Prabhupada coming on airplanes, flying around the world, spreading the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, introducing the holy name, it had its purpose. That was the purpose of technology and industrialization. But now it served the purpose. Now the purpose is to spread Krishna consciousness, which includes the Vedic culture. So those who cannot take to Krishna consciousness immediately can be elevated gradually to the realm of appreciation, at least, of the value of chanting the holy name. Because that's what the Vedic culture leads to. So we have to understand we're going to have to also be part of the reactions. But those reactions are actually for our benefit, for how we can take shelter of Krishna. And eventually we'll wake up enough that we'll actually understand we should start protecting the cows. We should actually have farm communities. We should actually spread the Hare Krishna movement without reservation in the cities. And that will actually be good for ourselves and good for others. Like Prabhupada came to the Western world and his spiritual master said to his disciples, he said specifically to Prabhupada in one letter, you should preach this philosophy in Krishna consciousness in the Western speaking world, it'll be good for you and it'll be good for others. So it'll be good for us and it'll be good for everyone else, but it's a whole package. We can't take part of the package, be half in the camp of the demons and half the camp of the devotees and expect we're going to make any difference. Like Draupadi was being, had her hands, had one hand up, one hand on her cloth, Dushasana was trying to take her cloth off, and she was trying to hold on with one hand and pray to Krishna with the other. And only when she put both hands up did Krishna come and protect her. So if we don't know if we're on the side of the demons or on the side of the devotees, and how do we know when we're on the side of the demons? We think one demon is a nicer demon than the other. He may be a demon, but he's a good demon. He's my kind of demon. It could be a rock star, could be a movie star, could be the favorite song we hear in our head all the time. Could be anything like that. And it means that we think, oh, this demon, maybe not a politician. Oh, the politicians are all bad, they're all demons. But the Beatles, oh my God, how can you say that, Prabhu? Or this movie, Avatar, it must be spiritual, otherwise how do they name it Avatar? Something catches our mind and think, wow, this is good Maya. This is good boga. Let me eat it. Ah, boga, but it's good boga. It's in the mood of something goodness or what. So as long as we're like that, then we're just like, we're not necessarily strong enough. Krishna can't give us the intelligence by which we can actually spread Krishna consciousness effectively. We could try to do it very efficiently. We can organize everything so that everything runs like a clock, like a Swiss watch or something. And Krishna may not be far away. We may be proud. We have the best Swiss watch like movement or temple in the world, but there's no Krishna anywhere there. Well, he's there. He's smiling, but he's wondering when we're going to wake up. And the reactions will come anyhow. It doesn't matter how efficient we are. And then Krishna will throw the reactions on us even more to wake us up, to realize it's not just efficient that we're trying to become, it's also effective. We want to be effective in remembering Krishna. As Prabhupada writes, that what is good management? According to Bhagavad Gita, manmana bhavaman bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Good management is to organize our lives in such a way as that throughout the 24 hours a day, we cannot help but think of Krishna. That's good organization and intelligence. Sounds like a good lecture. So if we can do that, if we can organize ourselves efficiently, effectively, to actually bring people to Krishna consciousness, get them aware of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't emphasize technology or industrialization. There's nothing in Chaitanya Charitamrita about that. It's only about spreading the holy name in Veda culture. And that's all there is. And if we become absorbed in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission to spread the holy name in Veda culture, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the Veda culture which can support it, then we'll become effective in our own spiritual lives and we'll be able to do something, change the direction of the civilization. Otherwise, it's going exactly according to what the demons are expecting. All these things, these wars, these pandemics, they're all planned out. They're planned out ultimately by Maya, to give people reactions for their sinful activities. And the only hope is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And we're supposed to be the movement. We can't, where's the Messiah in the movement? When is he coming? We're here. Hello. We're the ones who are supposed to save the world. The question is whether we can save ourselves. That's the problem. And it's very simple, just as Prabhupada used to say, just take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement seriously. Take the philosophy seriously. And take the demons seriously too, and avoid them. Because they're seriously trying to get us involved in their movement also. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Oh, it was just the last thought, is that, as, because I had the Bhagavad Gita open. As it says throughout the Bhagavad Gita and throughout our literature, there's always going to be tests. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Haridas Thakur, he had tests, Haridas Thakur had tests. Prostitute came and visited him in the middle of the night. He was beaten in 22 marketplaces. Thakur Haridas had his test. He was banished from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Krishnadas had a test. He was seduced by the Badaharis. So many tests are there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and ultimately they passed the test when they took shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. Similarly, in Krishna, the story of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many tests that go on. The Pandavas were tested. Prahlad Maharaj was tested. Everyone is tested. So why should we not be tested? Why should we think, oh, something bad is happening to me? Krishna, I didn't join the movement. You were supposed to protect me. You say you protect your devotees. You're not protecting me. I have doubts in my mind. Who is this Krishna? Who can trust him? He even had to have Arjuna say, my devotee never perishes because no one could trust this person. Now we have to understand there will be tests, and the final test is the moment when we have to leave this body and we're being prepared for it. That's the ultimate victory. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, in the verse, try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they've seen the truth. So, and Prabhupada writes in the purport, we should just take shelter of the succession. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavan pranitam. Only one in the succession can actually convey the message of the Lord as it is. Now, then Prabhupada quotes, tako apratishta shudhya vibhina. That there are so many other one can debate, one can take shelter of so many different literatures, one can take shelter of so many different opinions, but ultimately one has to take shelter of one who knows Krishna, one who actually knows Krishna. And then Prabhupada writes that, what is the process? One should accept the spiritual master of full submission and surrender. As a humble servant, one should serve the spiritual master like a humble servant with full submission and surrender. Like a menial servant without false prestige. And satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is a secret advancement in spiritual life. So we have Srila Prabhupada. Everyone at least acknowledges that he's a self-realized spiritual master. He's given us these instructions. Anyone who's also acting either as a shiksha, shiksha guru, they can only do so as much as they repeat and follow Prabhupada's instructions. And then Prabhupada will be satisfied. And Prabhupada's also satisfied when his servants are satisfied. So it's not that only Prabhupada and we neglect his servants. Prabhupada's also satisfied when his bona fide servants who are acting as his instruments are satisfied too. And then the whole disciple succession up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is satisfied. And what is that, how to satisfy them? Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. We want to get spiritual understanding. We want spiritual awareness of who we are, who Krishna is, what we're supposed to be doing. This is called spiritual understanding. So, inquiries and submission. We have to become inquisitive. Who am I, to begin with? Who am I actually? And what is the process of realizing it? Unless there is submission and service, so we may be submissive, but we have to also serve. So to get our inquiries, constitute the proper spiritual understanding. Unless there's submission service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. And here's the point. One has to be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciples with genuine spiritual understanding. So the spiritual master is an instrument for the super soul, whether it be the Shiksha Guru or the Diksha Guru. When he's pleased by the genuine desire of this disciple, then the super soul within the heart gives some understanding of what's being spoken without, as well as this, one can actually hear what the spiritual master is saying. But one has to be able to test the test of the spiritual master. So what does that mean? We're going to be put through so many tests. Every day we're being put through tests. As soon as you're born in a devotee family, then after some time they have the Bhagavatam on one side and money on the other side. Well, let's see what you're going to go after. The Bhagavatam or the money. So that's the first test. And after that, it's all tests. And if we can remember Krishna, as much as we remember Krishna, then, and actually do things to please Krishna, then we're passing the test, because then we'll be able to remember, Krishna will reveal himself gradually to us. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries and condemned, one should not only hear submissively, which we should be doing, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. So we're not only trying to hear submissively, I'm trying to hear and hear and hear, but we're also trying to get a clear understanding through learning submission, learning the path of submission, and service. To give up this idea, well, yes, up to this point, I'll accept what they're saying, and after that point, it's too far out. Forget it. So that's not submission. And then, on the basis, all right, I can't accept everything, but at least I should do some service. At least I should do something. As Prabhupada writes in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse number 10, he says that, or Krishna says, as much as we're following enthusiastically, as much as we're following strictly, then to that extent Krishna gives us intelligence how to make progress in devotional service. And that came from hearing from the proper sources. But then Prabhupada said that even if you have a bona fide spiritual master, and you're attached to a bona fide spiritual organization, if you're not intelligent enough to make progress, then still Krishna will help you from within anyhow. The only thing is that one should be willing to render all kinds of service with love. So even if we don't know what we're doing, at least we should do some service. And then Krishna will give us some intelligence to understand what we're doing and how to do it. So that's called sincerity. We have to, even if we're foolish, at least we should be sincerely foolish by doing service. Then there's some hope. But not that we shouldn't take shelter of Prabhupada and his instructions and the bona fide spiritual master and bona fide organization, but we should also try to blind following absurd inquiries and condemn. We should not just follow blindly. We should also try to get a clear understanding, because then we won't fall away. Then we won't be so much vulnerable to just giving up devotional service when finally Maya gives us what I was looking for. As I said, I was distributing books, and we were on Radha Damodar in the airports, and there was a competition. We were part of the world competition. Who was the biggest book distributors? Of course, it was all transcendental competition. There was no false ego at all involved. Or as Prabhupada once said, if Tamil Krishna Maharaj loses he was ahead of Radha Damodar. If Radha Damodar loses to L.A. Temple for the marathon, then Tamil Krishna Maharaj will have a heart attack. Spiritual heart attack, of course. So I was part of that, and they were sending everyone to anyone Radha Damodar could pick up a book bag they sent somewhere. So I was sent to a small airport in Charlotte, North Carolina. And with, I was like consistently in the world, I couldn't get above number 20 or something like that. I was consistent. Every day I did this, exactly the same amount of books, big hard book. Except then I got into, I tripled it and doubled it, and everyone else did it too. So I always remained. Even when I was doing 150 big books, Maha big books, a day, that everyone else was doing more than I was. Krishna never allowed me to get too puffed up. Anyhow, I was in this airport. I was like number 20 or something in the world, and he was like number 3. But his technique, I mean, I tried all kinds of techniques. I didn't try his technique at that time. I tried other techniques which were similar, but never that extreme. He would meet the most beautiful women in the airport, well-dressed, glamorous women. And, you know, if you videoed, you'd think it was Romeo meeting Juliet. And inevitably, he was a big, handsome, good-looking guy. And he'd get them to fall in love with him and give him a big donation. They got a book, and they went on, and he met the next romance. So that went on during the day. And I couldn't compete with him. I was just doing regular book distribution. So finally he met the girl he was looking for, and that was the end of the story. Then he went from number 3 in the world to no one knew where he went. So unless we can get some transcendental understanding, we may do some serious service for Krishna. But we maybe also get deviated by some point when Maya finally sends what we're looking for. That one thing that Maya knew was our weak spot. So therefore we should try to pass the test, not of the genuine spiritual master. Try to remember Krishna, even when there's happiness, when there's distress, whatever there is, try to remain steady in Krishna consciousness and not in some other consciousness. Although everyone may praise us, you're a great devotee, Prabhu. You're doing so great. We all admire you. You're the leader. You're this or that. And if in our hearts we're not thinking about Krishna, then we're just wasting our time. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So one question. I heard from some devotees that we were asked 3 times before coming to the material world. And we said, yes, is this bona fide or?
Well, according to baseball, it is. If Krishna was following the rules of baseball, 3 strikes and you're out. But that's the only thing I've ever heard. Because Balaram played baseball also. When Dvaveda was throwing rocks at him, then Balaram was taking his club and hitting them into pieces. So he was also he's the original baseball player. But I don't know if it goes all the way back before we came. Anything else?
Okay. From Avadhutarai Prabhu. It is mentioned...
No, it's suspense. Everyone's listening now. Find out what was mentioned.
Okay.
Just see technology.
Yeah. It is mentioned that the Mayavadis don't accept the existence of Shaktis. So I don't understand
of what?
Of Shakti.
Shakti?
Yeah.
That's all they believe in is Shakti. That's their whole idea. There's no Shaktiman. There's no original personality who's in control of you. There's only Shakti. There's only energy. So what's the question?
So I don't understand why the existence of Shaktis was used by Lord Chaitanya to defeat Mayavada.
Shakti. He said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that everything has a source. So that's the same thing we use. Just like Krishna is the source of everything. So if we're a person, then how could Krishna not be a person? Otherwise, where did our personality come from? If the source is not a person, how can the energy have personality? Very simple. If you don't accept it, we'll repeat it again. Until you finally accept. That's why we read these books. It says the same thing over and over again. Because we're just a little slow to accept.
Okay, there's yeah. One more. I heard in one lecture that Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya to repay the devotion to his devotees in Vraja. But still he could not. How is that?
Lord Chaitanya came as?
Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya to repay the devotion to his devotees in Vraja. But he could not. How is that?
Otherwise it would be the end of the story. We wouldn't have the Krishna book anymore. Krishna went home, the gopis went home, everyone went home. End of story. It's an eternal story of love. How can you think, you know, I paid back the love you gave me, and now I'm finished with you. No, that's the feeling of love. You never feel like you can give enough. Otherwise, the whole thing would be pretty boring. That's the material world. I love you, and as soon as you give me what I want, I'll find someone else. But spiritual love is not like that. It's the more you love someone, the more they serve you out of love, the more you feel indebted to them. And the more that you feel indebted to them, the more lovable you become, and the more they love you. So it goes on eternally. It's like Srimati Radharani, she tried to make Krishna happy, and when Krishna's happy, she becomes happier. When Krishna sees she's happy because she tried to make Krishna happy, then he becomes happier. And that's eternally going on. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anything else?
Yes. During the Sankirtan, especially these days as I'm doing it, I feel very distressed after doing it, but at the same time very happy that I was in service for Krishna. But I don't know how to always find that motivation or inspiration to, for example, today to go to Sankirtan with a good mood and really want to be in service with Krishna. All the time I feel like, oh, yesterday was so weird. Oh, how is it going to be today? I don't know if I'm going to stand it anymore, or because we are meeting demonic minds and we are...
No, the problem is not the demonic minds we're meeting, it's our own demonic mind.
we are meeting...
So we should use our intelligence, not listen to our mind, because our mind will always give us some idea. You know, just do this, and after you do that, when you feel good, then you can do the real thing. Maya will always tell us. Then when we're involved in Maya says, oh, don't bother with the real thing. Just stay in Maya. No, we should just reject the thought immediately. We should understand Krishna is everywhere. He's in everyone's heart. We're not, you know, dealing with people who have demonic mentality, but if we're taking shelter of Krishna, then he can change everything around. Or he'll send us the people that he wants to become enlightened. We have to rely on Krishna. And we have faith in Krishna, then all these ideas about what happened yesterday won't make any difference. Because we'll be in Krishna consciousness today. So what happened yesterday makes no difference. It's whether we're in Krishna consciousness today that makes a difference. Anything else? Krendraj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Kidaj.